Hello and welcome once again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry of the Washington Word. My name is Matthew Monona, and I am here to bring you the Word of God. Not that I'm a great teacher, I'm just being obedient to what God has called us to do, and along with my wife Victoria, God called us to open a hand car wash so we can earn money, so that we can provide these Bible teachings to you free of charge. We put them out on the radio, WMCH 1260 AM radio, Monday through Friday at 8:30. But more importantly, they air, those messages you hear on the radio, they air on a loop, they change weekly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right here in the Washington Word parking lot. So whether we're open, whether you're getting your car washed, you could be over there by the library or over in Powell's parking lot, just as long as you're in the general area of the Washington Word. We're located on Highway 11W in Church Hill on Highway in the Powell Shopping Center. And as long as you're in the area, again, tune to 107.1 FM, and you can have verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what we want this place to be known as. I also would like to invite you up to the Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. On Sunday nights at 6 p.m. is when I do my live verse-by-verse. And so that's what we're doing here. We're giving verse-by-verse Bible teachings. If you missed any of our teachings in the past, we have them all archived on our website, washandword.com. That's washed, letter N, word.com. And there you can download and listen to free all of our messages. And if you have any questions about the business or the ministry, go to washandword.com or call 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. We're going to get back into our teaching. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul is ending his letter, and we're in chapter 16, and there's actually quite a bit of good application that we're pulling out of chapter 16. Most closing remark chapters in any epistle in the New Testament usually is accompanied with a lot of just personal greetings and things like that, but we're pulling some good stuff out of what Paul has to say here in the closing remarks of his letter. So we'll pick it up in verse 10. The last thing we looked at was that tithing of our time is very important. People want your time. You know, your kids want your time. Your wife, your husband, they want your time. Time is a valuable thing. And the other thing we looked at was that opposition is opportunity. Paul said he was going to stick around in Ephesus because a great opportunity presented himself. And one might say, well, what was that great opportunity, Paul? He said, oh, well, that there's a whole bunch of people here who oppose me. So Paul had the right mindset. Because remember, most things that are hard in the natural produce growth in the spiritual. And so picking up at verse 10, he goes on with his personal request. He says, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now, about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. All right, we're going to stop right there, because there's a couple of interesting points I want to focus on. But instead of trying to force a point out of this, let's just read it as sort of an endorsement. You know, one of the reasons the gift of discernment is valuable to the corporate body of believers is that those who have this gift can promote a fellow believer or warn believers of a potential threat. So if someone were to come into the fold at your church and either you or somebody else cannot read them or doesn't know that person, that is going to limit potential service or damage within the body of Christ. In other words, if one of you who I know well and I trust were to endorse a person that I didn't know, or you were able, because you had the gift of discernment, to discern the spirit of a person, and I trusted you, then I would have no problem trusting this person that you have discerned to be either a threat or a help. Or again, if you knew that person and I didn't, if I trusted you, I would trust that person. And that's all Paul is doing here. He's allowing the Spirit to move freely in the sense that he's telling this church, listen, Timothy is going to come to you and you have to welcome him. And you might say, well, I don't know him. That's okay. Paul says, you know me and you trust me. In fact, I think it's Corinthians, either 1st or 2nd Corinthians 11, 1, Paul says, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. And so if you can trust Paul and Paul gives you an endorsement of someone, then you can very well trust that person. Now, you may not know the new guy very well, but if he's okay with the leader, then he should be okay with you. Well, as much as being able to discern a person and deem them trustworthy, there's also plenty of times that we must discern a person and warn somebody of them. And this is what we're going to read now. Verse 13 through 23, Paul says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaeus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit, and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send your greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, so that's the end of the letter of 1 Corinthians, but we're going to spend the rest of this teaching and probably one more going back over everything Paul just said in those last 10 verses. Starting with verse 13. In fact, 13 and 14, Paul says, be on your guard in verse 13 and stand firm in your faith. Then he says to be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And these two verses kind of encompass my heart as a preacher. And it also is the heart of Paul. So I can safely assume that that is the heart of God that each of us should be striving for. And so I will use those verses to convey my final thoughts and my final words of encouragement and to bring forth a challenge to you, especially if you've been listening to this entire letter through the almost 2 months of teaching now. And so here's another thing I learned about being a pastor, about being a leader. And we find it in the very first part of verse 13. Paul says, be on your guard. So what is it I've learned? Well, you probably guessed it. Be on your guard. Always be on your guard. Friends, we walk around with bullseyes on our backs if we profess Christ. The problem is less and less people are professing him in public. They're being forced through our culture to speak less and less truth about Jesus Christ. And God help the church or the pastor who alters their message or leaves out part of God's word because the world has deemed it unacceptable. Listen, there is only one way to walk this walk. There's only one way to teach this word, and that is to be on your guard. You see, there's only one truth. There's only one right answer. There's only one righteous path, and that path was deemed narrow and difficult to stay on by our Lord Jesus. And thus, no matter what graph or chart you might want to use to display one small fraction of a whole, the net result is that huge sections of life are encompassed by error, or the wrong way, or lies, or deceit, or falsehood. In other words, if the path to righteousness, and only a few find it, is narrow, then that would mean that the wide road is filled with unrighteousness. And it is, indeed, that way. Everywhere you turn, every move you make is going to come under attack if you adhere strictly to the Word of God. So you have two options. Back off on your adherence to the Word of God, or always be on your guard and continue preaching the fullness of His Word. So, unless we are moving in the narrow corridor of righteousness all the time, we need to be on guard, because even as good-hearted, whole gospel-preaching Christians, we're prone to straying. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is Nehemiah 4:17. Nehemiah says, "Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon with the other." That just encompasses the attitude we should have as Christians. We should be carrying the materials, as it were. To translate that is, we should be going about preaching and teaching and sharing Christ, and doing it in a way that we're not giving somebody Christ light or diet Jesus, but we're giving them the full counsel of all of God's Word. And then with the other hand, they held a weapon because they knew opposition would always be around the corner. And so we could either put our weapons down and avoid the opposition by scaling back our message, or we can be obedient to the Lord and preach all of Him and carry a weapon along with us. That doesn't mean we fight. It doesn't mean we go forth in violence. The only offensive weapon in the armor of God was the sword, and we know the sword of the Spirit is Christ. He is the Word. The sword is the Word. So our weapon is, when we talk about having a weapon or fighting, it's merely having the Word of God at our disposal. And the more that we have in our head, the more weapon we have the ability to draw, as it were. And so deviations off of the path of righteousness result in little or no demonic opposition. If you get off the path of righteousness, you start to compromise the Word or your life, you will not be met with any demonic opposition. This is why Paul said earlier, in the last teaching we looked at, Paul said there is opportunity in opposition. And so when we're following the devil, he's not opposing us. But if we get right with God and we follow His laws and His rules and we are obedient to His Word, well, then we're going to have opposition. Then we're going to have opportunity. But we do the work of the Lord and we be prepared to fight. And since you desire righteousness, you know, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you're probably a Christian already because you tuned in. And if you're in the waiting room and you're listening to this, I hope these messages are drawing you closer to Christ, whether it be that salvation statement that you make and make Him the Lord of your life, or you just turn your life back to Him, or whatever it is. I'm going to trust that you're pursuing righteousness in your life. And if it's true, if you are pursuing righteousness in your life, friends, be on your guard. And this is the final word I'm giving you before this teaching ends. We must be ready. We must be watchful. We must be prepared. And for goodness sakes, we must stand firm. And that was the second thing Paul said. And that's where we'll pick it up when we pick up our teaching again tomorrow. Remember, come out to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. That's when I do the verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Come by the Wash and Word, get your car washed. This is how you can support this ministry. We want to work to earn the money that it takes to keep the business going and to keep the ministry going. Our motto here is we want to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So come on by, let us work to wash your car In the meantime, if you have any questions, go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.